Welcome to the Beyond Intuitive Eating Podcast, hosted by me, Beth Basham. I am a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, and liberated body coach. I'm also a wife and mama to two amazing little people. With over 20 years of experience, I help women bridge food freedom with optimal health using principles of intuitive eating, foundations of emotional mastery, functional medicine, and neuroscience. This is the space where you get to end the war with your body and discover total confidence and true health from the inside out. One of the top concerns that my clients express to me is their concern about overeating. They want to end it. They want to be able to honor their hunger and their fullness and really learn to listen to their body. But they find that there are moments or there are certain foods that lead them to overeat on a regular basis, which leaves them feeling overfull, guilty, and then like a failure. And in many cases, my clients consider overeating their so-called problem that keeps them from reaching their health goals. In today's episode, I'm going to explore three steps that are going to help you stop overeating if you think you're someone who does eat beyond fullness. But I want to preface this whole episode with a full disclaimer. There is quite a bit of nuance to this topic, so I'm going to do my best to cover the main points, but I want to fully recognize that every individual's reason for overeating is going to look a bit different. So as you're listening today, I invite you to listen and decide for yourself what steps or what components of what I'm talking about resonate with you most deeply. It's so important to practice self-awareness and notice, ooh, what she just said is very true for me, or that's not so much for me. That's actually a way that we start to cultivate this trust with ourselves and with our body is by checking into what's happening even as you consume information. And interestingly, I think just as we can eat beyond fullness or overeat food, we can also overconsume information. So you might take an analogy from this episode as well as you're listening. So let's start by defining overeating because within this nuance, there's a lot of meanings for different people. Some people feel like overeating is sitting down for a big meal and stuffing themselves. Other people feel just slightly overfull and they've considered themselves to be overeating. There's also a clinically diagnosable eating disorder called binge eating disorder. Okay, and this is characterized by certain diagnostic criteria that is beyond the scope of this podcast episode, and I'm not going to get into. So for all intents and purposes, this is for a person who's not diagnosed with binge eating disorder, but does feel like they overeat or eat beyond fullness on a regular basis to the point of discomfort, frustration, or guilt. Okay, because I know people in my life that overeat and they don't have a shred of guilt, right? It just is what it is. And I'm guessing that's probably not you. I'm guessing you overeat and it's not a good thing for you. Okay, so the three steps I'm going to cover today are going to be for that specific person. If you have binge eating disorder, there are going to be elements of what I talk about today that will be helpful, but I also want to encourage you to talk to a therapist or somebody who specializes in binge eating disorder to ensure that you're getting the support you need, knowing that this podcast is not going to solve all of the concerns that might be underneath. So, and honestly, this is really for anybody. A podcast is not going to be the end all be all, but my intention is to support you, open your brain to some different ideas or ways of approaching the quote unquote problem of overeating. Okay. So the first step, and you, if you listen to my podcast, you're going to be like, oh my God, this again, Beth, this again. but the first step to stop overeating is self-compassion. And I know you just rolled your eyes. You're like, ugh, self-compassion. What are we making it mean when we overeat? You know, that's the first thing I want you to consider. What are you making it mean when you eat a little bit more or a lot a bit more than what your body really wanted? We oftentimes, and I hear this from clients, I've felt this for myself, we make it mean that we have no willpower. We make it mean that there's a problem. We make it mean that there's an appetite regulation issue. We make it mean that we can't ever be healthy. And the way to meet these thoughts is by being compassionate towards them. So decide for yourself, first and foremost, what are you making it mean when you overeat? And then notice where you can say statements like, well, of course you feel that way. It makes sense that eating beyond fullness means that there's something wrong with you because that's what the world has told you, right? We live in a world that if you overeat, you are lazy. Well, not lazy, but you don't have any willpower. You're not disciplined enough. And our culture rewards discipline, hard work, following the rules. And so overeating is breaking the rules. It's not listening to your body. And especially for somebody who's trying to be intuitive with their food or mindful with their food, overeating can literally mean that you failed. So meeting ourselves with self-compassion can start with just simple statements like, well, oh, it makes sense that I would feel this way. And hey, I'm going to even take it a step further or use a bridge of forgiveness to help me access self-compassion. So if self-compassion feels inaccessible, which is honestly not that uncommon for so many of us, we can also look at forgiving ourselves for making it mean something, for being so hard on ourselves. And if forgiveness even feels a little bit difficult, which again, not uncommon, we can forgive ourselves for not being able to forgive ourselves. You know, there's always an opportunity to lend ourselves compassion through forgiveness or through compassionate statements, like I mentioned before. We can also start to encourage more compassionate self-talk by flipping the lens from this means something about me, this means something bad about me that I overeat, to a lens of curiosity. So instead of why do I overeat, what leads me to overeat or eat beyond fullness moment to moment? Do you notice the difference between those two questions? Why do I overeat? What's wrong with me? Versus, what is leading to me eating beyond fullness today, last night, whenever it was, right? We're changing the lens, or we're changing the question from why to what, and we're putting a curious spin on it, right? And that is really, really helpful when we're exploring and trying to overcome our overeating tendencies. Because, yeah, I'm just going to leave it there. I could keep on going because I love this topic. So that's literally tip number one, is practicing self-compassion. Now we're going to talk about two more tips. Before we do, we're going to take a very, very quick break. So just hang out for about a minute and we'll be back right after this message. Hey there, beautiful soul. Do you ever find yourself caught in an endless loop of negative thoughts about your body and feel like you're in a constant war with what and how much to eat? If so, you're not alone. Reading a book, listening to a podcast, or talking to a friend may not be enough to help you experience total confidence with food and your body. For this reason, I have reopened my group coaching program, Peace with Food and Soul, a 4-month immersive space where you get to finally shed food and body guilt for good. I have dozens of testimonials from happy clients who will never spend another cent on diet culture solutions because they have created health, mind, body, and soul from the inside out in this program. Check out the show notes for a link to more information if joining a small community who gets you is just what you need to accelerate your journey. Okay, back to the show. Okay, and we're back, and we're gonna jump right into the second step of how to stop overeating. And I labeled this step, or call this step, getting out ahead of it. Getting out ahead of it. We're gonna talk about two things within this topic that help us get out ahead of an actual overeating experience. Because oftentimes when we're in the act of overeating and we're not listening to our body, we're not stopping when we're actually full, it's because our nervous system is dysregulated and we can't actually even hear the voices of our body. That is not the time to figure out how to quit the action or quit the overeating, okay? We have to look at ways to get out ahead of it before the experience happens. We either have to look at how to regulate our body better through nervous system awareness. That would be another episode. I've actually talked about it, I believe back in episode 21, I discuss how to use the body, not the mind, to achieve food freedom. And so if you are curious about diving deeper into that particular topic, I want to invite you back to episode 21. But it is important to understand that in the moment, I call this the red zone with my clients, we don't always have the ability to stop overeating in the midst of it. So we want to look at ways to get out ahead of it. So there's the nervous system that I alluded to here that can be something we learn how to befriend and learn how to regulate our nervous system, because when we're more regulated, we can actually hear our body signals a lot more clearly. We're not meant to be regulated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but when we practice how to regulate our body, which is typically done in a group setting, I do this work with my clients, or you can do it with a therapist if you feel like dysregulation is a big part of your overeating experience. But the idea here is that it does take time, and it's really cool, however, because when you learn how to regulate your system more of the time, the overeating tendencies literally just dissipate. They just go away. There's no trying to fix the overeating. It just goes away. It's really cool. This is also just one piece of the puzzle. We also have to look at biology and how our human body functions, because the reality is, and for so many people who have been dieters, we think that we have failed. You know, we think that we failed because we can't stick to the diet or stick to the eating routine or exercise routine. And we think it's a matter of willpower. But at the end of the day, the biology of your body, if you're undernourishing it, you're not eating enough calories, it's going to scream, and it's going to scream really loud. And oftentimes that's going to come in the form of eat everything right now. And it's going to look like a binge. It's going to look like eating beyond fullness. It's going to feel uncomfortable. But it's your body's way of defending itself from undernourishment. Now, it doesn't mean our experience is pleasant, but it is a fact of biology. If we go on restrictive calorie-deprived diets, they will work for a period of time, but eventually the body will revolt. Now, I use that point to set up this next statement. Part of getting out ahead of it is also getting out ahead of it from that physical way the biology of the body works. We have to ensure that we've had enough nourishment throughout the day to avoid binges or overeating experiences as well. So I have a lot of clients, I think probably 70-80% of my clients who consider themselves overeaters say that their overeating happens at the end of the day. Now, again, it can be related to being really stressed. It can be related to a lot of dysregulation in their nervous system, and we want to work on that. But it also can be because they didn't give themselves enough calories throughout the day. They didn't eat breakfast. They, you know, skipped lunch because of, you know, something that was going on. They just drank a coffee or a latte. And it makes sense that at the end of the day, they're calorie deprived. Their body would say, oh, you're finally relaxed enough to have a meal. Let's have the meal, and then let's have a snack, and then let's have dessert, and let's have more dessert, and let's have another snack, blah, 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 right? And then it's this formula for a ton of guilt and disappointment because they overate as a result of and almost like a backlash to not eating nourishment throughout the day. So I think it's always worth throwing in there that it's okay. And we're not getting into diet culture by saying you must eat breakfast every day. I'm not saying that. You may not be somebody who really does well with breakfast. I don't know. But what I am saying is for some people, especially those who binge or overeat at night, they may not be getting enough calories throughout the day. They might not be eating a big enough lunch. They might just be snacking and not actually nourishing themselves with a meal that has protein and fiber and other components that really provide satiety and energy, like just like pure energy for the body. So we want to look at both. I think it's so important that we look at both the physical aspect of getting out ahead of it and also this like emotional aspect that's related to how our nervous system is regulated and how we're digesting or metabolizing our emotions throughout the day, right? So we have to look at both because I think It's going to be a little different for every person, and they may actually have an element of both physical getting out ahead of it and that mental, emotional getting out ahead of it. Because there's emotional eating that can also be a part of this. And I've also done an episode on emotional eating. It was one of my very first episodes. So you can go check that out if you want. So that's the second step. Get out ahead of it. Look at the bigger picture. Understand a little bit of the why, but really learning what to give the body, whether it's physical nourishment or mental, emotional nourishment, before the event of overeating even happens. And then the third step or point is cultivating a mindfulness practice with food. Mindful eating is something that you probably heard about. It's within the intuitive eating framework. It's its own principle, and it's interlaced into a couple of the principles. But I want to emphasize mindfulness with food because I think in so many cases, it can be entangled with diet culture. I see programs out there that's like, eat mindfully for weight loss. And it becomes just a whole nother smattering of right and wrong, good and bad. When I'm mindful, I'm good. When I'm not mindful, I'm bad. Okay, so I really want to set the stage for this third point to say there's not a rightness or a wrongness to mindfulness. Mindfulness is a practice, right? You know, just think about if you have a toddler or a young infant in your life, when they're learning how to walk, if they fall down the first few times or even like the first few years of learning how to walk, you don't look at them and be like, you're terrible infant child for falling down. No, you're like, oh, you're learning how to walk. Look at you. This is, you know, just get up and try again. It's okay. You might have bruised your knee, but that's okay. It'll heal, right? We don't use damaging language towards little kids. We say, hey, this is part of growing up. This is part of learning. So this is also with step number three, we need to be mindful, not only of being mindful, but also be aware of this idea that it's easy to beat ourselves with a stick if we're not being mindful, okay? So just a heads up, because some of the tips within this, you can make this black and white. You could do some all or nothing thinking around this, but this can be helpful with somebody who tends to overeat. And the first thing is to try to consider eating most, if not all, of your meals and snacks, at least in the early stages of learning, at a table. And when we sit down at a table, we turn off or minimize distractions, we're going to have an easier time listening to our hunger and fullness cues. If you're listening to the news, reading your email, get an alarming phone call, all of the parts of you that feel fullness or feel hunger, they literally turn off to deal with the threat at hand. So it could be as simple as listening to the news about the upcoming presidential election. If you are stressed by that topic, it is going to elicit a stress response inside the body, and you're not going to feel your fullness. You're just going to keep on eating right through the stress. So it's important. This is where mindfulness becomes It's a tool. It's not the end all be all. It's just a tool. But when we sit down and we turn off that TV, we close down the email, we put on some nice gentle music, we give ourselves a better opportunity or chance to actually feel the body's cues. And when we slow down as well, we chew our food. That's also good for digestion as a general rule of thumb, not as a rule, but we slow down, we chew our food thoroughly, we taste it, we notice the texture, the temperature, the flavors. When we do that, we have a tendency to overeat less of the time. Okay, and this is not about being perfect. This is about trying it on, seeing how it feels. You might feel some discomfort when you sit down for the first time at your meal with the TV off. I remember I had a client who her and her husband always ate in front of the TV. And I recommended this to her just to try. And she did say it was really uncomfortable at first. She did not like it. But over time, she continued to, you know, stay experimental, stay curious. And it ended up being incredibly powerful for her because she learned how to tap into her hunger and fullness, an experience she'd never had before. And it really minimized this discomfort she had with overeating, but it also helped it activate trusting her body, learning how to trust her body. So, and I also want to throw in here too, like even if you overeat from time to time, it also doesn't mean that you're not intuitive with food. I have been practicing intuitive eating for 10 plus years, and I still, from time to time, I overeat. For real. Like, I totally have overeaten. I've overeaten probably within the last 2 weeks. One thing that's also been powerful for me, and you could consider this a bonus tip, one thing that's really been helpful for me is not letting it mean anything about me and saying, hey, I just overate. Like, this can be a dialogue you literally have in your head. I just overate. It's not comfortable. I totally acknowledge that I did not like that experience. Normally, I shame myself, I guilt myself, I look for a diet to start the next day to keep me under control. But instead, I'm going to like lean into this idea that I can trust my body. Trust my body that tomorrow my needs for calories might shift a little bit. I may or may not need fewer calories because I ate a lot in this circumstance. If you start to give yourself an opportunity to self-regulate, not just at the meal itself, but at future days or future, like the entire week ahead after an overeating experience, you give yourself a little space to breathe and to relax into, wait a second, if a little kid can do this, which by the way, they totally can, maybe I can do it too. And if you have little kids, you know, they'll eat like a ton of food at one meal and then they'll skip a meal or two like the next day. They are super, super good at self-regulation. And while they may or may not overeat, they will, you'll notice these fluxes, these ups and these downs with their food intake. And I know to a lot of parents that really worry about that because we've kind of been trained to eat certain size portions at every meal and so on and so forth. So you can learn a lot from little kids, I'm just saying. But anyway, just a kind of a side tip, a bonus tip for you to consider. But I also want to offer you this. I've explained these three steps here in this podcast, and I also fully recognize that some of this may not work for you. And if you try these things out, or maybe you've tried these things out and you notice, you know, this really is great, I like these ideas, but it's not really working for me, I want you to consider that it might be time to hire a professional who can support you in a deeper understanding of the overeating tendencies that you have. To A, figure out if it's a real problem, and then to B, to help you understand the root cause of the problem. Because like I said, this may have offered some information and hope. And for some of you, you're like, whoa, I'm going to take this and run and it's awesome. While others of you are like, I don't know. I don't know if I can trust this whole self-regulation idea. And it may be time to look for a therapist, a counselor, or a dietitian such as myself who's trained in somatic work, nervous system regulation work that can help you learn how to overcome, but also live with overeating in a way that is brings you more peace and removes the guilt and helps you learn and trust your hunger and fullness cues. So there it is. There's the podcast for today. My whole point was to introduce three steps. Self-compassion is number one. Getting out ahead of it is number two. And practicing more mindfulness with food is number three. I hope this was helpful. Feel free to reach out at any time if you have questions about this episode or feedback in general. Thanks again. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening in today. I am so grateful. If you enjoyed this podcast, I ask that you share it with a friend who might also benefit. And if you want even more support on your food and body journey, please check the show notes for information about my free Facebook group and private coaching opportunities. See you next time.